From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Just ahead, there'll be plenty of barbecue on the menu at this weekend's fancy farm picnic in Kentucky, but plenty of politics, too.
But first, to a place where there is definitely plenty of politics on the menu, but perhaps not as good barbecue. Washington, D.C., that is, where members of the House had hoped to be out of the Capitol today, heading home for a five-week recess. But instead, they are in the chamber to discuss a bill about the migrant crisis along the U.S. border with Mexico. Here is California Democratic Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez speaking today.
Mr. Speaker, the House today is bringing up their only immigration-related bill, and it has just one message. Deport, deport, deport. Deport children seeking refuge from extreme violence. Deport a mother away from her children. Deport a young person who has pledged allegiance only to one flag, and that is our flag.
Well, yesterday, the Senate failed to get the votes it needed to pass a $2.7 billion border bill. And we know that President Obama has asked for even more money to deal with the crisis, $3.7 billion. So what happens now? NPR senior Washington correspondent Ron Elving is with us from Washington. And Ron, I guess first, tell us about this bill that Loretta Sanchez was just talking about there, that the House, she says, just wants to deport, deport, deport.
The bill that the House is considering today is a modified version of the one that they could not get a majority for yesterday when the House Republican leadership wound up with a great deal of egg on its face. And they brought it back today. They were just going to pull the plug and say, okay, fine, we can't get a bill. Let's go on vacation. The Senate can't get one either. They went on vacation. But instead, they decided to come back for one more try today. I think you have to salute them for that. And what they're doing, though, is they're making the bill more unfriendly to the president and his priorities and his immigration policies so as to try to get more votes from Republicans and pass it strictly with 218 Republican votes. They couldn't get that many yesterday. They lost the Mississippi delegation, the Alabama delegation. They didn't think that the bill was tough enough on President Obama, gave him too much leeway. So they're coming back at it today to see if they can make it tough enough for Mississippi and Alabama and some of the others who want to come aboard.
To what end, though? Because that kind of bill is not going to make it through the Senate, and it certainly won't be signed by President Obama.
The message is being sent not to the president, not to the Senate, but to the constituencies of the House Republicans who are concerned about their standing with their own people back home. The people back home who are most vocal that they hear from, and that includes through talk radio programs and a number of other media venues, are telling them that they don't want the president to get any more money to deal with this problem at the southwestern border with the children who have been arriving for months and months, or for any other immigration purpose, because they don't think the president is executing the laws that are currently on the books. They don't think the president is doing enough to defend the border. And even though there's border defense money in this bill, they are wary of giving the president any more money, anything that might look like more authority. And they're loading the bill up with direct orders to the president to stop deferring the deportation of what are called the Dreamers. These are kids who were brought here by their parents at very young age and now are reaching the age of majority, would like to go to college here perhaps or join the military and get citizenship. They are deferring action on those, and the House Republicans want to end that deferral and send them back to their countries of origin.
So just to sum it up in a short sentence there, they're not doing anything about the crisis along the border. This is really getting ready for the election this November.
That is the message they're most interested in sending.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the Highway Trust Fund, because they actually did act on that, and so did the Senate. Tell us what they have done on that front.
The Highway Trust Fund will live to fund another day. Those projects that are already going forward, places where people are working on the roads, rebuilding bridges, those projects can continue because the House and Senate, at the very last moment, both managed to approve a bill that adopts some rather, I think you would have to say, blush-worthy of stopgap funding methods that have to do with how the IRS treats pension funds from large corporations. In order to generate the appearance of fresh revenue, what they didn't do and what they will have to wrestle with sooner or later is something with the gas tax, which has been stuck at 18 cents for more than 20 years, so that it can keep pace with the need for roads and bridges.
And another thing that they did do is pass a fix to the Veterans Administration, some of the problems that have been happening there. Tell us what they're doing on that front.
They managed to strike a compromise here through the good offices and long work and hard work of two chairmen, Bernie Sanders in the Senate, Jeff Miller from Florida in the House. They worked out a $17 billion compromise between wildly different bills in the House and Senate so that the legislation that's been passed by those two chambers can now be composed into one bill that the president has said he will sign. It will provide for veterans who have been denied care because of long waiting lists to go to a private doctor and send the bill on to the federal government. It'll also do more to improve the facilities at a lot of VA hospitals and to give the new administrator of the VA new power to deal with some of the people who are responsible for some of the problems up to now.
Now, another surprise today, Ron, is that Republican Congressman and former House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, who left that position as House Majority Leader yesterday, said this morning that he's going to resign from his seat completely earlier than expected. By the way, while we're talking about Eric Cantor, I want to say we did talk about the race in his district yesterday and mentioned that the person who beat him in the primary, David Bratt, is a graduate from Princeton University. He's not from Princeton University. He actually got his degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, which is not associated with the university. Now that that's out of the way, Ron, tell us what's going on with Eric Cantor.
Eric Cantor is no longer the House Majority Leader. Having lost his primary, as you said, he decided he would leave Congress at the end of this term and has already been replaced as House Majority Leader by Kevin McCarthy of California. So he no longer has an office in the leadership. And despite all of his remarks yesterday to the effect of how important it was to him to serve in the House and serve the people of Virginia, he is going to forgo that privilege beginning during the recess now. So he's gone. He's not going to be around after today and seek employment elsewhere. He has been spending a lot of time in New York for interviews.
All right. Well, we'll, I'm sure, be seeing a lot of him on television and perhaps radio as well. Ron Elving, senior Washington correspondent at NPR. Thanks so much, as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.